Welcome to Mustard Seed Ministry Radio Program. This is Donley Cameron, and it's an honor and a joy to be with you today. This is part two of Being a Person After God's Own Heart, a message that I delivered at Christian Renewal Church in South Carolina. If you have not already listened to part one, please do so at this time. You get the whole part of part one and two, and in context of what I'm speaking of now in part two. I hope you enjoy. Open up your Bibles and open up your heart so let's see what God is saying to you today through this message. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Christian Renewal Church Sunday Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit ChristianRenewalHHI.org.
Now, the second point I want to make today and then draw the characteristics from David is be a true friend. Be a true friend. And I'm not talking about 700 friends on your Facebook or 1,000, because I guarantee you say, I'm going through something. I'm going to meet someone up here at Starbucks at the local coffee shop. Can someone meet me up there and talk to me about some things? You may have one or two people show up just because you said that you were going to buy their latte, right? But this is what true friends are. We see this in a genuine friendship from Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 through 4. This is genuine friendship that we see here out of them. And 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4, it says, "Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul," talking about David, is after he took out Goliath and they're in the court, "the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him," talking about David, "that day, and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore." I want to stop right there and just say that that was when David was launched into, I believe, what he was called to do. He was done tending his sheep. There's going to be a time when you know that, and you're going to be called into your destiny. And then what happens is that other people will speak that into your life. You don't have to force something. You just allow it. You just walk and keep attending the Father's sheep. God keeps training you over and over again. He's going to bring that greatness out of you. In verse 3, the great friend, Jonathan. "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant," hallelujah, "because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that he was on him and gave it to David with the armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt." That was very treasured items that Jonathan had. I mean, he was supposedly the heir of the king. So this is no hand-me-down. This was the original real deal stuff. And this was valuable. And he gave that to David as a covenant and saying, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm for you. We're going to be friends, and hey, you took out that Goliath, man. I got to be around this guy." So, but it's interesting. We just read that Saul, his father, Jonathan's father, tried to put on his armor and all his stuff onto David, but he was doing it in the wrong motives, and David gave that back to him. Said, "This has not been tested." See, some things that there's never been tested in our life, we can't use to do in the workplace, in the ministry, whatever it may be, in your sphere of influence. It's not been tested, so you don't want to go out there and do that. And so we are made and long genuinely for true friendship in our own lives. We long for that. I mean, who doesn't long for that? We all are. We're made to have friendships. But see, friendships take time, effort, and must be cultivated for true friendships to emerge in our lives. You know, we can see that covenant at the beginning of a true friend. You say, "Well, that's my best friend," you know, and so there's been an exchange. You've fought maybe some battles together. You've done some business deals together. You may have done ministry together. Some of my wonderful friends I've done ministry with. You know, you've gone in there to the front line of battle, and you get hammered left and right, and then you come out and you say, "Wow, yeah, you did great there," you know. And so there's their true friends right there, and you make a covenant, but it takes time and effort. A true friend will always be there, even when you're wrong. You know, fair weather friends, they come and go because, you know, they're maybe ashamed of you. But see, a true friend is not going to be overly impressed with your victories, but they're not going to be ashamed of your failures either. And so we want to be true friends. And this is a true friend that we see. It says in Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, when you're rejoicing, you know, a lot of people rejoice with you. That's an easy one. But when people weep, that's hard. You know, when you have a lost one or loved one, you know, what do you say? You just weep with them. That's what the Bible says. Don't come in there and try to, well, yeah, I told you so. You shouldn't have made that business. I told you not to meet with that person. I told you don't to get connected with them. I told you to do this. I told you. And it's that type of friendship that you don't need at that moment. You need just to weep. You need someone just to weep with you. And if you ever been around long enough and you have some friends that go through some stuff and you go through some stuff, and the ones that just come around you and weep with you, you know, you'll say, wow, that did more for me than I didn't do anything. I was just there. You did it. You did amazing things. So we want to be true friends. A true friend will never let you down. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Again, say with me, all times. All times. Hallelujah. Now, we may say, okay, well, you know what? I don't have a friend like that. You know what? But see, God sees you as friends. When you are alone, see, it's amazing. When you were in your sin, God loved you. Okay? So it wasn't like he had to reinvent the cross and die all over again after you got cleaned up. No. See, he died on the cross and he cleaned you up. He cleaned all of us up. And Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, still sinning, Christ died for us. See, we know that friendships can be strained at times, right? Friendships can be tested, and friendships can be overwhelmed with the world, just things, just going through life. We see that in 1 Samuel 20:17-40, where there was a renewal of commitment of friendship with David and Jonathan. We see that in there, because when you go through as a friend, you'll face some stuff. And as you face these things, you're going to have to say, you know what? I want to encourage you. I'm there for you. You're going to have to maybe make a phone call, send a text. You're going through it. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. See, these are true friends in our life. They're not fair weather friends. They're true friends. And we all need them and we all long for them. And you know what? Where it starts with is us. It starts with you. And God is asking you to go out and be a true friend. And we can learn that from Jonathan and David. And then also a good friend also rebukes you. So in Proverbs 27:5-6, it says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. And we see in John 15:13, this is where God has laid down his life for us and for the cross. John 15:15, this is the most amazing. This is what I was just talking about God being your friend. If you say, you know, I don't have any friends in my life, God is your friend. God loves you, and you're never alone. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And you know what? At the end of David's life, at the end of this point here I want to make, is that we see in 2 Samuel 1:26, when David found out that Jonathan and Saul, Jonathan's father, had passed away on the battlefield, you would think that David says, woohoo, this is my time now, I'm the king. No, he lamented. See, that's what we need to do as true friends, is lament. If we hear something terrible about one of our friends, and so we need to not rejoice because it's a promotion for you, maybe I'm going to get some more accounts now because, you know, those people have moved on. No, we lament. We don't rejoice in those type of things. We lament. David sang a song of lament, and that was an amazing tribute to his best friend and his the king of Israel at the time. Now, the point three I want to make, it says, draw from David's life. Remember, we're talking about being a person after God's own heart. We want to live out loud for God as worshipers. See, we do not want to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And so we want to live our lives out loud. It's not just a worship service, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's in the workplace. Most of the ministry, personally, I was witness to as in the workplace. So if it wasn't for a godly saint that had come into the workplace, I might not be standing here today. But God had a plan, and I ran paths against this individual that shared the gospel with me. And so we need to live a lifestyle, and out loud. We see in from David's life in 2 Samuel 6, we see that when the ark was coming back to Jerusalem, David was overwhelmed with joy. So when there's things that happen in your life and you see that things God is moving, that's not the time to lament. That's the time to rejoice. And when you start to rejoice in these things, we see in 2 Samuel 6:14, it says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. It didn't say with a little might, with just a little bit of enthusiasm. He said all his might. We see that all. We've been saying all today, right? So all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And in verse 21, it says, I, talking about David, will celebrate before the Lord. 22, it says, I will be even more undignified than this. Wow. See, this is when his wife was making fun of him or saying, you know, things like that. And David just said, no, you know what? I love the Lord. I love God. And I want to be undignified than this. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let the worship flow from you. Let the wellspring of life come from your heart and let it pour out. Hallelujah. And, it's not like you're going to be on the street corner and, you know, praising and worshiping and singing songs. If that was what God has called you to do, then do it. And do it unto the Lord. But you don't want to be like running around going, is everyone looking at me? You know, but you just want to do it from the Lord. You get lost in the presence of God. Amen. Let me tell you about a life that was living out loud this month. We're in October, and there was a story that just broke through the national news outlets. There was many people that have picked it up, news outlets that have picked it up. But it should be on the front page. You know, it should be on the front page of every newspaper. It should be on the front page of everything and every newscast. Just keep rehashing it over and over again. It was an NFL player named Maurice Johnson, a wide receiver from the Philadelphia Eagles, tweeted out on October 12th. It says, first time being baptized, corporate worship is a beautiful thing, cleansed and reborn in Jesus' name. Praise God. So where was this happening? Where was this baptism and this corporate worship taking place? Was it at a church? No, it was actually in a hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina, just a few weeks ago. Praise God. This man, Mr. Johnson, he was being baptized in the swimming pool in a hotel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Maybe that's why they won, you know? So, so the thing is that we see that God is not going to be contained in a little box. He's not going to be contained. He wants to live out loud through you. And see, all these big guys on the NFL, Philadelphia Eagles, they were holding hands. There's a picture, you could probably look it up. They're all holding hands around the pool. There are people snapping shots. You know, I'm sure maybe a couple of atheists came down to take a nice little swim on that day, and they came into a worship service, praise God, and they saw people getting baptized, Mr. Johnson being baptized. And I just believe that God was glorified that day in Charlotte at this hotel. And so we just need to live out loud. We need to live out loud for God, and wherever it may be. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, we give thanks for everything, because that is God's perfect will for our life. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we have to have a willing heart, and we have to cry out to God. You may say, you know what? I've been through some stuff. I'm going through some stuff right now. And you know what? You may not have a prayer to pray or a worship song to sing. And you may be in one of the darkest places in your life, and you may be in that hotel room, and you say, you know what? I feel like the world is caving in on me. Well, you know what? Just cry out, Jesus. 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 He'll break through. He'll break through. And he's clothed in light, and he'll bring through light in the darkest places of your life. Don't hide anything from him. Just say, Lord, you see that area in my life. I need help. I need help, Lord. You know, let call sin, sin, but let your worship reign through. Let God be glorified in your life. Wherever you walk, let him be glorified. Let him be glorified in Jesus' name.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. He's alive and he's seated as King.